One is they were recent converts to Islam, and as a result, they had all of the enthusiasm of recent converts. Second, they were heirs to a great heroic tradition on the steppes of Central Asia. And there's this tradition of being a Ghazi warrior, where the warrior must go out and battle his opponents, seize horses. And that is now combined with Islamic traditions of jihad. So the Turkish warriors who burst into the Middle East combine this tradition of religion and this martial ethos. And the Sultan, Tughril Bey, who restored the authority of the caliphs in Baghdad, found that his Turkish soldiery, his own kinsmen and countrymen, were really something of an embarrassment. I mean, the Arab populations didn't like them. They tended to be rapacious, the usual problem of bringing in warriors from the fringe into a settled society. So what do you do with them? Well, you release them on Asia Minor, which is the Byzantine Christian foe. And so initially, these forces were sent in motion against the Byzantine Empire, and they hit it just at its weakest point. Just as the imperial government has been bankrupt by Basil's successors, where the military aristocracy in Asia Minor is alienated, and there's the expected result. There's inadequate response and a catastrophic battle in 1071 where the Turks overrun Asia Minor. Well, within a decade, the imperial government is virtually reduced to chaos, and the Turks are settling in the peninsula. And one would think that that would be the end of it, that the situation had decisively tipped to these newcomers. Well, in 1081, an extremely intelligent man by the name of Alexis I seized power. And we know a great deal about him because his daughter, Anna Komnena, wrote a very detailed history about her father, often known as the Alexiad. Now, she's something of a silk stocking. She tends to idealize her father. Nonetheless, she gives us an extremely penetrating portrait into this Emperor Alexis, who is perhaps the most intriguing figure since Basil II. Alexis did restore imperial power. He held on to the city of Constantinople, and he had that European heartland. At the same time, he knew he had to recover Asia Minor. It was necessary to get the natural hinterland back from the Turks. And by 1081, the Turks had taken over virtually the entire peninsula and had Constantinople on their sights. Well, Alexis carried out a very bold move. He appealed to the Western Europeans to send mercenaries to him, and we're still not sure exactly what Alexis wrote. But in 1092, he made it known through his various contacts in Western Europe that he needed mercenaries. He particularly wanted the heavy cavalry, the mounted knights, in which the Western Europeans excelled. And these would be the classic knights that you would see on the Bayeux tapestry. They have stirrups. They can conduct the heavy cavalry charges. They had proved their ability on battlefields. The Byzantines had fought with them in wars against the Normans in Italy, and they really did appreciate it. In fact, Anna Komnena, the daughter of Alexis I, tells us, don't get in the way of a Frankish cavalry charge, Franks meaning French Western Europeans, because it'll carry everything before you. And so Alexis sent out the appeal to get these warriors. Furthermore, he knew that Western Europeans, in contrast to Byzantines, put great stress on the holy places. On Jerusalem, that Western Europe was rather impoverished when it came to Christian relics and traditions. And he therefore appealed that, in his appeal, apparently made it known that Jerusalem and the holy cities had also fallen into the hands of the Turks. Now, to be sure, Alexis wasn't too interested in these areas. He was interested in Asia Minor. But he knew that this would strike a chord in Western Europeans, and it did. Pope Urban II, who took up this appeal, preached what we call the First Crusade. Now, we need not get into too much of the details of the crusade from the European viewpoint. Many of the crusaders who traveled east were motivated by this mixture of piety and a conviction that victory in battle was God's favor, and therefore spoils and riches were the natural reward. This was an extremely favorite interpretation by the rapacious nobility who went on crusade. Furthermore, by going on crusade, you got remission of sins. And believe me, the Norman and Frankish nobles certainly needed remission of sins. That is, sins would be forgiven if they fought the infidel. But these notions of holy war, this obsession with pilgrimage, struck many of the Byzantines as quite strange.